Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
And you're welcome to the Racing Pod and Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. The first half of the pod each week, free to air, the second part exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. Afternoon, Johnny.
Good afternoon, Jenny.
I don't remember a sadder week, Johnny, than we've had for horse racing for many years. Jockey Michael O'Sullivan laid to rest in Cork on Wednesday. The 24-year-old died after suffering head injuries from a fall at Thurles earlier this month. The whole sport is in mourning. Michael had everything going for him. He was young, he was fit, he was intelligent, he was talented as a jockey, he was a gentleman. And Johnny, it's unspeakably sad. There's no question Michael left a mark, not only as a sportsman, but also, more importantly, as a human being.
Yeah, very well said, JD. I have to say, just from somebody who would have met Michael at the races and through racing and wouldn't have known him as well as, you know, some of his good friends like Harry Swan and people like that, I still found the time between that incident at Thurles and his eventual passing, I found it tough. And I felt that in the racing community as well, that it was suggested to me quite early on that Michael was in for a battle. But you're obviously hoping against hope, and those of us who mightn't necessarily say prayers every week, we're very inclined to say prayers for Michael, because I just found this very, very tough to deal with, to be honest, because he was an absolute gentleman to deal with. The last winner that he rode was Young Lucy at Down Royal. I happened to be on Racing TV duty that day, so I interviewed him after the race, and he'd always address you by your name, really, really mannerly. He'd always go out of his way to say hello to you at the races, polite and kind and very talented. And his freelance career was kind of, I suppose, was just taking off. The racing is a dangerous sport. It's exceptionally dangerous. What other sport has an ambulance following you around at work? And we've had, the ground at this time of the year as well is faster than normal, and things conspired against him and all of that, but it was just awful to deal with for his family. I hope they get some solace. Seven hours the removal I think took on Tuesday, and I hope they got some solace from the outpouring of emotion. I imagine it was tough for the jockeys as well. I was racing at Dundalk last week, and I found it all a bit surreal, and that was dealing with like the flat guys, and I feel that the jockeys would have found it difficult as well. But Michael was very, very talented, and it just goes to show the risk that these guys take on every time they race. And my heart goes out to his family. I don't know his family well at all, but I see he's an extended family members. His granny mentioned on RIP.e as well. All of these people who will feel this massive, massive loss. And we do see in racing from 2003, when we lost three jockeys that year, up until Jack de Bromhead, Pat Mullen, John Thomas McNamara in more recent years, racing really is good for looking after people. And the O'Sullivan family will need plenty of that. I cannot imagine the horror of the last 2 weeks for the family. And it's absolutely devastating. I'm sure Michael will be well honoured in races and events, and in even in place names going forward. He left an indelible mark. But it's just something that, for me, I find it, even looking at the, we did a little YouTube tribute to him on IrishRacing.com the other day, Emma Nagel and I, and just seeing Michael O'Sullivan 2025 coming up, it's still very, very, very surreal. He went into a fence and I suppose basically didn't wake up, and it's tragic beyond words, really. And I imagine everyone who knew him well would miss him greatly. He was a beautiful, beautiful person.
Well said, Johnny. And our thoughts are with his family, his parents, William and Bernie, his brother Alan, his partner Charlotte, his relatives, his friends, his racing colleagues. As William said at the funeral, Michael was much loved and will be missed. We're brokenhearted, but we will now focus on what Michael would have wanted. He would want us to mend over time, to support Alan and find joy in his achievements. He would want us to find joy in the achievements of his cousins and friends and his many Wayne Room colleagues. May you all stay safe. Michael will forever be in our hearts and minds. We have on the line Michael's Wayne Room colleague, JJ Slevin. Afternoon, JJ.
Afternoon, Ed.
First of all, JJ, we're very sorry. We really appreciate you talking to us on what's an incredibly tough time for you and for everybody in the Way Room. There are sometimes no words when it comes to these situations, JJ, but perhaps you might be able to speak about Michael and the person you knew.
Yeah, so Michael first came to my attention. He probably would have been 15 or 16, riding out with Joseph on the hill. He spent two summers down there, and but I do remember the first day he came into the yard, he was a natural talent from the get-go. And like, he really stood out as a good rider straight away. Lovely set of hands, lovely seat on a horse, got his heel good and deep around the horse. Just natural talent. And it was evident from then, like I remember thinking to myself, we're going to hear plenty about this lad. And he had a great manner, a great way about him. I remember when he started riding, I used to bring him to the races a little bit, and look, he was a very straightforward fella. And look at everyone, he's got, my heart goes out to his family and everybody, the O'Sullivan family, great point-to-point people. Look, it's similar to ourselves at home in Wexford. And yeah, we've known them for a long, long time, Eugene and Maxine and everyone. So it's a tough time for everybody.
The Way Room's a unique place, JJ, in that as sports people, you go out and you compete with each other, but then you're in the dressing room sitting beside each other. There's a solidarity as a group when the race is over.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Michael, he had a great circle of friends. It was one thing I always remembered about him. There was a group of lads who were very, very close, as Johnny mentioned a few of them, Ben Harvey, John Gleeson, Tom Harney, Harry Swan. These guys, you know, they really hung around together. They were a real, you know, group of lads who went, they done a lot of things outside the race, and they were going to concerts, and they always come to the races, you know, dressed very smart, and they were a great circle of lads who went around together. And Michael was right in the centre of that, and you know, you would see him interacting with each other at the races daily, you know.
You talk about his teenage years there, JJ, and the talent then began to flourish, and we saw the Marine National race a couple of years ago. It's the first race at Cheltenham Festival. The roar goes up, and you were riding in the race, and he really arrived that day. He rode like a champion jockey, Marine National.
Yeah, like his point of point days, he was champion novice rider, rode 16 winners. Like he was, you know, he was exceptional from the get go, and the grounding he would have got from his father and all his family really stood to him, and the point of point stood to him. And two rides that stuck out in my mind, the first one was Marine National in the Royal Bond. For as a man, I was a young lad claiming £5 that day, and the ride he gave him was unbelievable. It was like sort of ride Paul Carvey would give a horse the confidence he went out and rode him with and just landed him there. And then he went and done it again in the Supreme on the biggest stage of all. And followed Paul Townend down to the last on the bridle on Facile Vega. It was probably would have been a warm order that day and picked him off the back of the last. Like, they were the things he was capable of doing at that age and with not much experience under his belt as a professional. Like, he was an old head on young shoulders, really.
What has it been like, JJ, in the weighing room? You know, I suppose it was he passed away on a Sunday, we'll say, and it happened Thursday, 2 weeks previous to that. So it had been going on. There had been, you know, the odd jumps beaten in that time as well. I imagine it was tough. You know, a lot of jockeys rode in those first couple of races at Thurles that day as well. And I suppose I'd be just conscious of looking after the jockeys who might have been affected by it and are struggling from it since.
Yeah, well, obviously I was there in Thurles that day. I hadn't ridden on the day, but I was in the weigh room, and we were aware, you know, pretty quickly that things were pretty serious, and they ended up calling off the meeting, which was a godsend for the other lads that were riding on the day, because they would have struggled to get through the day, I think. Everybody done the right thing, and then obviously the other fixtures were cancelled, so look, back in Punchestown yesterday, I suppose it was nice that we got going again and get our get back focused and get back racing. You know, that was nice. I found the minute silence particularly tough myself anyway. In the driving before the first race, I had a ride in the first day yesterday, and that was tough. But we put on our helmets and we managed to get up and go again. So, but it was a funny atmosphere in the way I'm listening. I suppose it was definitely a bit quieter than normal.
The type of fella as well, JJ, that you know, JD spoke about his dad speaking at the funeral, that I imagine he is the type of guy that would really want you to get back on the horse, literally, and to carry on and in his memory.
Yeah, I think so. And look at Alan, has been making a name for himself as a point-to-point rider, and he's been doing particularly well. I would watch the point-to-point replays when they come up there on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and Alan has been catching my eye, like, so I'm sure Alan is going to continue on, and Michael will be there to help him and guide him from above now, hopefully, and he will be, you know, forever there to help him out, you know.
Michael was doing what he loved, JJ, and this is what he wanted to do, and it was a big part of who he was. And William spoke in the eulogy about Michael wanting to find the joy in the achievements of his Way Room colleagues, including yourself. This is what you do, JJ. This is what you do.
Yeah, look, that's what we do, is right, you know. Like, from a young age, Michael was no dissimilar to myself. Just wanted to be a jockey and ride horses, and the reason to do that is to, first of all, for the love of horses, and the second of all is to win, you know, and the winning is what keeps us going, and that's what keeps us motivated. And look at Michael in his short time with us, he achieved a hell of a lot, you know, and like those Cheltenham winners, and you know, he had a hell of a career in a short period of time, and it's just, he's been taken way too soon, and you know, God knows what he'd have done if he'd have stayed around, you know.
You're riding intense raffles at Ferry House on Saturday, JJ, and it's important now that everybody in racing rallies around each other. It is a very strong community. It'll have to be strong now.
Yeah, for sure. I know it will have to be strong. I mean, this is the third instance that I can remember where I've been at a meeting or something like that. It's happened. I was in Wexford today. Darry Cullen had his accident in the point of point. And then I rode today. Jack Tyner had the fall in Dungarvan. But they were horrific days. And I mean, it's going to be really, really tough for people. It's going to be, look at some of his family and friends and people, they're never going to get over it. But it's going to take a long time for the industry as a whole to get over what has happened. And look, thankfully, people have rallied around. Jennifer Pugh has done an amazing job. She got everyone up to the Curragh, all the jockeys, whoever wanted to go, just over in the race course the other day. And we sat down and we had a chat. And Jennifer and Dr. Kiro Carl, the two of them were there, and they were unbelievable. And anyone who wanted to say that and could say their bit. And Jennifer talked for a lengthy period, and that was great for everyone. And it was great that people could share their thoughts and help grieve, you know.
JJ, we're really sorry, and our thoughts are with you, and we appreciate you speaking so eloquently, and thank you for coming on. And look, we'll see you soon.
Thank you. Thanks, Az. Thanks very much.
JJ Slevin there, Irish Grand National winning jockey. Johnny, life will go on. It has to. And there'll be a few tears at Cheltenham, I expect. And it's important that everybody looks out for each other, as JJ was saying there, and gets the support they need.
Yeah, we're all passing through on this earth, and you know, we'll meet a reward eventually. And it's just kind of makes no sense to my in my mind at this stage, that he will be taken so soon. But lovely words from JJ, and Jennifer Pugh bringing the jockeys around. I really feel that's invaluable. You know, if you rode in that race or you rode that day, you know, these are things that they're not easy to get over. I was very, very fortunate myself. I was coming back from holidays that day. I didn't see the race, and I never will. And not to mind riding it. And jockeys can kind of bury their feelings a bit as well. And Jennifer deserves massive kudos for that, in the IHRB for looking after them, because this can be harrowing. I didn't mention Jack Tyner as well. Jack was so tragically taken so young, Robert's son, all those years ago. And I remember having to ring Robert about that at the time. He hadn't passed away, and as a journalist, it's very, very difficult to deal with these situations. I remember ringing Timmy Houlihan's parents back in 2003 or so, and the agony that they were going through. Three jockeys passed away that year. It's a brutally, brutally dangerous sport. And you're obviously still shocked by something like this, but I think you know, I really feel JJ spoke very nicely there about him. And you know, when somebody passes away, you know, you'll hear good things about him or her. You know, that's just how it is. But Michael was just a beautiful person. He really was. He put you in good form, and he was an absolute example to anyone. You know, coming up in the weighing room, just a good guy to be around. As you say, he'd achieved so much in a short space of time. But I did feel going freelance was kind of a new chapter for him. And he'd ridden Young Lucy that day in Down Royal for Tony Martin, and he'd give us a ride sort of befitting what JJ was talking about in the Royal Bond or the Supreme and Marine National. Very, very quiet, kind ride. Lovely, lovely rider. And it's you know, it's kind of surreal that racing goes on, but it just has to go on.
Yes, Johnny, I was rattled, I have to say. And I remember Kieran Kelly, Hardy Eustace, won the 2003 long distance hurdle or the middle distance hurdle at Cheltenham. And I remember interviewing him on the way back to the weigh room, and it was his first winner at Cheltenham for Desi Hughes. And then a few months later, he passed away in a fall after a fall. And it was kind of, 22 years later, this is happening again. Spoke to Michael there a couple of years ago, and after Marine National and Jazzy Maddy first day at Cheltenham, I was going on social media, this is the new kid on the block, and we just don't know. None of us know where things are going to go, and it's heartbreaking, yeah. And it's devastating. And
I suppose one thing I didn't say as well was, you know, we are passing through, but the fact that his parents were able to donate his organs and felt that that was a good thing to do to, you know, hopefully save the life of one or other people. You know, that's not a gesture. That really does mean so much. And what his parents would have gone through in that time, you know, there's obviously the sudden nature of it all, but then hoping against hope that he might rally around, and then to have the wherewithal to do that is just testament to the people that they are.
Thanks, Johnny. This is the Racing Pod, and we'll leave part one here, and we'll start part two very shortly.
Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off the Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves in questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run. You can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.